Dominic Company, 102.5, 106.3 of the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios. Ian is here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
Bad weather coming in tonight. Everybody just know that. Just know, Ian, I think it's probably around like when we're going home is when all of this is going to kind of start tonight, but apparently there should be some bad weather in the area. So
yeah, trying to keep up with it.
Everybody be safe. First off the top, I want to thank Caroline and Adam Vingan yesterday for filling in for me on somewhat short notice. And I want to thank Chase for getting that together. And I did listen some yesterday, and I thought they did a fabulous job. So I want to thank them for that. So I want to start with what I wasn't here for yesterday, and that is the news that the Titans have signed Tyler Boyd. And I have two completely separate reactions to the news of the Titans signing Tyler Boyd. One, I think you would argue is a positive take. The other might be considered a negative take. And again, they are completely separate from one another. So Ian, which one would you like to start off with? Would you like to start off with the positive or would you like to start off with the negative?
Yeah, positive, please.
Okay. It's a great signing. I think it's a great signing by the Titans. I think it's a job well done by Rand Carthon. And I think it's a good signing at up to $4.5 million. And when something is up to $4.5 million, you know what that really means? It means it's not $4.5 million. So the Titans signed Tyler Boyd, a veteran, dependable slot receiver, a position that they didn't have, for almost no money. And because I think so little of the tight ends that the Titans have, I'm actually really excited about the signing of Tyler Boyd, because as we always talk about, the tight end is the best friend for the young quarterback, and that's those short, you know, two intermediate throws where it's third down and six and you throw it 5 yards over and the guy can get you. He knows where the sticks are and he gets you the first down, and Boyd can do that as your slot receiver. Boyd knows the offense. Boyd knows the coach. Boyd knows what the coach expects. And I think, again, Boyd is the type of dependable veteran. I don't think Calvin Ridley's necessarily the dependable veteran here we're talking about, like DeAndre Hopkins or Tyler Boyd. But these guys are dependable veterans, which I think are important for a young quarterback, not just in the sense of, hey, Tyler Boyd will be 6 yards on the end cut when he's expected to be 6 yards on the end cut, but also from the standpoint of Tyler Boyd can take Will Levis to the side and say, hey, man, you know, you got it. And so I love the signing. I mean, I think he's a good player. I don't think he's a great player, but I certainly don't think he's an average player, and I don't think he's a bum. I think he is a good player. He got almost no money. Now, when we went into free agency, and I actually pulled out, if you're looking at the stream, Ian, the free agency board is back. I pulled out the free agency board, you know, the notes on all the potential free agents the Titans could sign that I went over, you know, pre-free agency. And I was not a fan of signing Tyler Boyd as the receiving option. Because when I look at Tyler Boyd's notes, you know, red, it's all color coordinated for me. Blue is just a fact. Green is a good thing. Purple is a signability question mark kind of thing. And red is a bad thing. And the three red notes that I have for Tyler Boyd: one, 85% in the slot in 2023. Two, one contested catch in 2023. Three, only five deep targets. So when it came to signing Tyler Boyd as the free agent wide receiver, I was against it, because I thought they needed somebody on the outside that could run. But they signed a guy on the outside that can run. Calvin Ridley is the free agent wide receiver, and that means that Boyd's not the free agent wide receiver. And in my notes in purple, the signability question, I wrote, do the Titans need a slot wide receiver? If yes, then yes. And they needed a slot receiver, and if we're talking slot, Boyd's a perfect fit. In fact, what's funny is in my notes for Ridley, you know, his only reds were the character concerns and the 7 drops last year. But other than that, his green, which is good, 96.8 grade on deep targets and a 113 quarterback rating when targeted deep. So again, he's the deep guy. DeAndre is DeAndre. He's going to be intermediate, sometimes deep, sometimes short. You know, you can't match him up with just one corner. He's a contestant. DeAndre is going to be DeAndre. And Boyd is going to be the dependable guy in the slot that is the safe option for Will Levis. I think it's a great signing. So that's the positive take. I mean, again, and the money, again, up to $4.5 million. This reminds me of when the Clowney signing happening. When the Clowney signing happened, and we were discussing it every day because it was during COVID and there were no other sports and everything else. And I remember as that process was going on, the old man just kept saying, well, this is after the draft. I'm only interested in giving you minimum salary. Now, I can incentivize it to get you whole, but I'm only doing minimum salary. I mean, it kind of sounds like that's what the Titans did with Tyler Boyd. I have no idea what the officials of the financials are, and I don't necessarily care because I think the cap's fake. But at $4.5 million, I mean, there's even if he sucks, it's $4.5 million. Holy crap, it's what they paid Aaron Brewer. Think about that. Now, here's the bad. They still don't have a right tackle. Congratulations. You got three receivers. You got two running backs. You got a left tackle you took high in the draft. You took a guard last year at 11 overall. You think you have a quarterback. Redid the corners. Still don't have a right tackle. And thus, I still don't think this team is any kind of contender. And I think you guys think I'm joking every time I talk about the right tackle or tell the right tackle story or whatever it may be, but I'm not. Because I think that that's a pretty binary discussion. Right? It's like, can you win the Super Bowl? Do you have a quarterback? No? Okay, then the answer's no. Well, but you know, Trent Dilfer, he won a Super Bowl. Right, and the guy who coached that team, Brian Billick, went on the midday show at the Super Bowl and said, in today's NFL, you can't do that. So, if you don't have the quarterback, you can't win the Super Bowl. Can you be a good team? If you don't have a right tackle, I don't think you can be. And you don't have a right tackle. So, again, I know people are going to get mad at me for bringing this up because everybody wants to live in we're the most disrespected team land. But signing a slot receiver does not make you a contender. Sorry. And I think the Titans coaching staff actually disagrees with me vehemently about the importance of the right tackle position. And to be honest, as much as I have respect for Brian Callahan, I think that's stupid. I really do. And you can say, oh, Bill Callahan knows more than you do, so I don't care. And that's fine. They all know more than me. Every single coach on that coaching staff knows more than I do. Just like Mike Vrabel knew more than I did. But boy, he loved Andre Dillard and Aaron Brewer. Just like Jason Houdeling knew more than I did. That doesn't mean that he was a great coach. But you guys all know where that right tackle story comes from. And you guys know how smart that guy was. And you know that that guy, and again, his story about the right tackle position, you know that that guy knows more about winning a building a winning football team than Bill Callahan does. Because while Bill Callahan might be a great line coach, Bill Callahan was not a great head coach. And you know that. Bill Callahan is not in the Titans Hall of Fame. And the author of the right tackle story is. So while I like the Boyd signing, I think this is exactly what the team needed. I think this is great for Levis. I think the value of the deal, I think it's a great deal. This is like DeAndre's contract. Because last year you signed DeAndre for $13-14 million, whatever it was, and DeAndre's probably the value in today's NFL of a $22 million receiver. DeAndre was supposed to get 19 from Arizona. He got cut, but as the price rises for these receivers, I mean, I think the value for DeAndre is probably around $22 million. And he's making $13-14 million. Boyd, I think, is probably about a $9 million receiver, and he's going to be making up to $4.5 million. So that's a great deal. It's great value. And I think he's a good player, and you need good players. But to me, this isn't a transformational signing. This isn't the, okay, now we got Tyler Boyd, now we're on our way. And if you talk yourself into that, and I saw some of this on Twitter yesterday, if you talk yourself into that, you're only fooling you. You're only doing that because you want to feel good about your team May, June, July, and August. And then when we kick the football off, you're going to go crazy because, again, you don't have a right tackle. And I'm not going to stop talking about this because that's how important I think this is. So the Boyd signing, congratulations to the Titans. They got a good player yesterday. As far as whether or not this team's going to be competing, that's a different discussion. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. I do not know if this has been fixed or not. Caroline texted me earlier today and said that our text line was down, so I don't know if the text line is working or not. So it may not be. If it's not, it is what it is. I just pulled up the text line, and it says our last text came from customer service at 1:17 p.m., and it says, well, no. We sent it to customer service saying we have not received a text message in 5 hours. Thanks for your help. So don't text in. You're going to have to call. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in here on the program. And I know everybody thinks I'm a Debbie Downer, especially every time I bring up the right tackle position. And you're right. I am, because it is a big deal. But there are a lot of people that think that it's only May. Why should we be mad? We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106 for the game. I'm going to tell you a story. And everybody listening probably knows this story. Robbie knows this story. But years and years ago, when I first started at the radio station, we had the old general manager of the Titans, Floyd Reese, name on the wall over there. Mm-hmm. He was working there. We ended up working together for about 5 years. But before we were working together, I had just met the guy. And I grew up a huge Titans fan. And so it's like, this is Floyd Reese. So we're doing our first show together. And I'm just trying to, like, break the ice because I don't even know him. So I said, this was 2015. The team was terrible. They were 3-13 that year. I go, Floyd, are the Titans going to be any good this year? This might have been April after the draft. And he looked at me and he goes, we don't have a right tackle. I said, that's important, huh? He said, right tackle? I was like, it's pretty important. So the last couple of years, I feel like I've had to tell that story on the radio a bunch. So right tackle is apparently pretty important. I just want you to know that story so I don't have to tell it anymore on the radio.
I'll say this. Anymore, the way the NFL's set up, everybody's got – usually has at least one dynamic pass rusher. Mm-hmm. Most of them have two. And so if you don't have two tackles, it's going to be hard.
That was Brian Callahan the day after he got hired, but I guess he doesn't need a right tackle. By the way, that's an oldie but a goodie right there. Frederick says in the YouTube chat, Ian, I'm using the YouTube chat since our text line's down.
Next level.
Frederick says, Jared, we've heard that 100 times. Well, maybe you need to hear it 101. Because, again, the Tennessee Titans do not have a right tackle. And I love this. When people in the month of May go, it's okay to skip over right tackle because they can't fill everything. Heard Kaharski today saying, hey, look, they've got a right tackle. It's going to be Nicholas Petit-Frere, a.k.a.
P.T.
P.T., Jalen Duncan, who sucks, or Leroy Watson, who was acquired for a seventh-round draft choice from the Cleveland Browns, who's played 7 NFL games in his career with 0 starts, which makes me think that that's a guy who goes in there to play on the field goal team. And as I don't know how many snaps he's even taken at tackle in his career. And so what people say, you can't fill everything, Jared. I heard Paul saying that today. And what you do when you do that is you're acting as if right tackle is as important as right guard, or that right tackle is as important as inside linebacker or safety. But it's not. It's right tackle. It's like when we read the unnamed executives that talked to Mike Sando in The Athletic, you know, we talked about what they said about the Titans. But I was reading what they had said, the unnamed executives had said about the Denver Broncos. You know, they took Bo Nix with the 12th pick and everybody laughed at him, at least all of us that thought Bo Nix was like worth the 34th pick when they took him 12th. And as I was reading that, I was seeing these executives saying, like, I mean, I don't think Bo Nix is that good, but Sean Payton needed a quarterback, and it wasn't going to be Jarrett Stidham, and if you don't have a quarterback, you're going to draft Bo Nix. Basically, they said he doesn't have a choice. He had to draft Bo Nix. Once Penix went off the board and J.J. went one pick before, it's like, well, I mean, you got to draft Bo Nix because you don't have a quarterback. And right tackle is a you-must-fill-it position. I mean, it's not to you, but it is to me. And the Titans just continue to refuse to fill it. I mean, at least they kind of tried, right? They kind of tried in the offseason of 2019. You know, after the 2019 year, the 2020 offseason, I should say, Conklin leaves as a free agent, which you can complain about it, but they gave Ryan Tannehill $100 million. They thought they were going to have two tags. That got changed the week before free agency, and they used the tag on Derrick Henry. But they re-signed Dennis Kelly, and they drafted Isaiah Wilson. Now, Isaiah Wilson was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but again, they drafted a right tackle, and they signed a guy who, while he's probably a backup, could play right tackle. So at least they kind of tried there. Then they released the guy who was a solid, okay-ish right tackle, the backup, Kelly, and they had to get rid of the guy who was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs because he was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And so they get rid of them, but they, again, kind of try to fill it. They signed Kendall Lamb. And they had Ty Sambrylo, who had played left tackle for him, you know, at points the year before. And they drafted Dylan Raidens. Again, he kind of stinks, but they're at least trying. Then after that, it's like the Titans just said, screw it. Questenberry was the right tackle. He was a restricted free agent. They could have given him a right of first refusal tender for $2 million. And they didn't. At right tackle! They're like, nah, let's see if Dylan Raidens can do it. I think the quote Vrabel had at the combine that year was, he's not ready to start right now, but I've charged Keith Carter with having him ready. Oh, God. So they were winging it in 22. It got everybody fired. Then they were winging it again last year. They bring in a right tackle? No! And then when PT got suspended for gambling, they decided, well, you know what? We're going to have to go add a right tackle. And they tried to sell us on OJ. Is their right tackle. And so then they go out, they try to sign up. They got George Fant, who, again, is a legitimate starting NFL tackle, and they're like, no, he's too expensive. Let's sign Chris Hubbard, who hasn't started in 3 years. They're just winging it. So then in comes the new administration, because the last administration was so stupid, especially when it came to that it was like, all right, we know the offensive line's a mess. We know it's the worst offensive line we've ever seen in our entire lives. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to address left tackle, and we're going to address center. But we're going to wing it again at right tackle. And I'm like, oh, God. Oh, God. And I remember when everybody wanted to give Rand Carthon executive of the offseason awards, you know, after the first 2 weeks of free agency. And I kept telling people, like, they don't have a right tackle. And people are like, it's only March, Jared. We still have the draft to go. Okay, well, it's May now, and you still don't have a right tackle. And if you don't do something about it in May, you cannot do something about it in September. You want to know how I know this? Because I watched it last year with Dillard. I watched it after the third day of practice. It was obvious that Andre Dillard sucked. It was obvious. Vrabel got asked about it. He made every excuse in the book for why Andre Dillard stunk. One, Arden Key's so good that, I mean, you know, of course Arden Key's going to win because he's the great Arden Key. That was the first one. Then there was the, he's attentive in the meetings. Then there was the, it takes time for the offensive line in training camp. And unfortunately, these morons actually believed the poop that they were crapping because they've left him manned up with Myles Garrett at the end of the first half of the Cleveland game. Now, I got to assume that Brian Callahan is smarter than the bozos last year, but they don't have a right tackle. And then you guys get mad at me. You guys say, oh, God, here goes Jared for the 1,800th time bitching about right tackle. Right, because they never do anything about it. They didn't do anything about it in 2021. They didn't do anything about it in 2022. They didn't do anything about it in 2023. They're not doing anything about it in 2024. The only thing that they've done about right tackle in 2024 is set up the ability that if the seventh overall pick can't play left tackle, then they can move him to right tackle. This isn't guard. This isn't inside linebacker. This isn't punter. This is right tackle. So if you don't want to hear this story again, go root for a team that actually gives a rat's ass about the right tackle position, and then you won't have to hear it. It's like when Bally Sports, they got the thing, or Comcast, they got the thing on Bally Sports. It's like, call this number to demand that they get Bally Sports. It's like, call this number to demand that your team get a right tackle. And people will say, well, Jared, who could they have gotten at right tackle? I got a list in front of me. You guys know, if you listen to the show, I wanted Jermaine Illuminor from the Las Vegas Raiders, who is now going to be, I think, the right tackle of the New York Giants. Why'd I want Jermaine Illuminor? Not because he's a superstar, because he can play right tackle. I wanted them to trade for Morgan Moses. When I found out he was on the block and the Jets acquired him by swapping fourth-round picks, that's all it would have taken. A swap of a fourth-round pick with the Ravens, and you'd have had a right tackle. And for whatever reason, either the Ravens didn't call him, or they weren't interested. Because, again, they think PT, Jalen Duncan, and Leroy Watson, they think those guys are good enough to play right tackle. I mean, Ian, didn't I say, I don't know if you've got the calling it list in front of you.
Calling it list?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Okay. I'm pretty sure I called it I don't think I guaranteed this, but I think I called it at the end of last season that Dylan Raidens was going to end up as the Titans' right tackle in 2024. Not that they wanted him to be the right tackle, but that they were going to do something stupid, and somehow, after three games, they were going to realize that Raidens is the best guy on the team to play right tackle, which right now I think he is, and that Raidens would end up being the right tackle of the Titans, even though we all kind of think Raidens stinks.
I don't have that on a calling it. The most two recent calling its I have, Jared says Will Levis will be the backup quarterback for the Titans week one versus the Saints.
I lost that one.
That was wrong. And then Hopkins signs with the Titans. You did
right.
Call that, so that was correct.
So
but I got nothing on
Raidens. I said in like December, I was like late in the year, I was like Raidens is going to be the right tackle next year. I was like, he's going to be the right tackle, because what's going to happen is the Titans are going to try to cheap their way out of the right tackle position. And so when they do that, and I don't know why, you don't have to cheap your way out of it. You gave a running back $8 million. You already had a running back. But again, they were going to try to finagle their way at the right tackle position. And what's going to happen is they're going to realize all the finagling they did is worth nothing. And they're going to end up sticking Raidens back there. Even though right now Raidens is technically a guard, they're going to put PT out there. He's going to stink. Then they're going to try the next guy. Duncan does stink. And then they're going to try to put Leroy Watson out there, and I assume he's probably a practice squad player because that's what he's been in his career. And then for the bulk of the season, Raidens will be playing right tackle. I felt that way, but I kind of felt that way last year because I felt like Vrabel was going to be, you know, the, oh, with PTE can do it. And then, you know, his crummy coaching staff was going to, you know, yes, this, yes, that, whatever it may be. And I guess Floyd Reese knows nothing about football. I guess you don't need a right tackle. 615-737-1025. We'll get to some of your phones. 615-737-1025. And by phones, I mean actual phones. I guess I could use the YouTube chat and I could use Twitter. But, I mean, quite frankly, with the text line being down, it is what it is. We'll do that coming up. And now that Tyler Boyd is a Titan, what does it mean for Treylon Burks? I got a thought on that. We'll do that coming up next. Let's talk Window Nation. I love Window Nation. Did you know that it is Window Nation's semi-annual sale? And it is a big deal because right now you can get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years. Plus, bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. I had a consult. It was wonderful. They really, really do a fabulous job. They're not trying to sell you on stuff. They're trying to get you the best value for your home, and I know that because they did that with me. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that is a big deal. And with Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. So schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now by calling 866-90-NATION or visiting windownation.com. Again, that's 50% off all windows and no interest for 5 years. 866-90-NATION. WindowNation.com.
Stopping on Twitter with this immediate, like, have to trade Burks. Now, we've got a fourth receiver. We got to get rid of him. He might be good, and we might have a fourth good receiver who isn't on the field in the lineup at the opening snap. Got to get rid of him. Got to get rid of him. You're allowed to have a fourth guy. You're allowed to have a fifth guy. I know this is incredibly unusual that the Titans have conceivably have depth at a position where usually they suck. But this is allowed, and it's good. Wish for him to play well, to be healthy, and to give them a problem where a guy who's good, there might not be enough snaps for
him. Hey, that was PK earlier today on with Robbie and Joe. And I know, hey, they don't have to trade Treylon Burks. They don't, but I'll say this. If Treylon Burks is on the 2024 Tennessee Titans, it's because they can't find a 2025 fifth rounder or better for him. I mean, I think that, again, bringing in Tyler Boyd is a sign that they're done. They don't want Treylon Burks. They didn't draft Treylon Burks. They didn't trade A.J. Brown for Treylon Burks. They've never coached Treylon Burks. They don't want him. And thus, I don't expect them to keep him. But I don't think they're going to cut him. You know, the money's guaranteed. Anytime you take a draft choice, their money's fully guaranteed. It's the same reason why Malik Willis is still on the team. But here's why I don't expect the Titans to keep Treylon Burks. Because if you can trade him and, again, get a 2025 fifth rounder or better in return, then if he's on your team, you're on the hook for paying him for 2 years. But he's the fourth wide receiver. And the fourth wide receiver active on game day needs to play special teams. Like, if you're going to be the fourth active receiver, you're not going to carry nine receivers into a game. So if you're going to be the fourth active receiver, you have to play special teams. Burks does not. Thus, when looking at the game plan, he would be the big picture. You would be having this guy who you'd be paying, and again, the money's guaranteed, and you'd be deactivating him every single week. And then you'd have him there in case somebody gets hurt, as opposed to players on your team that, you know, you want to have on the team so that they can play in the games. So then the conversation comes up of, okay, what would you rather have? Would you rather have a guy who's inactive on game day, who you're going to have for the next 2 years, and then you're going to get rid of him? Or would you rather trade that for a draft choice that you can use to either, you know, acquire another player or use for four future years, which you would get with a fourth or fifth round draft pick? And my gut is the Titans rather have the future draft pick and the future 4 years of contractual control. Thus, I don't expect Treylon Burks to be on this team. Now, when they move him, that's an interesting question. My gut tells me they probably move Treylon Burks after training camp. So you go through training camp, you look at your roster, say, okay, you know, Jaquan Jackson's better than we think he's going to be. So Boyd, Hopkins, Ridley, Jackson, NWI, and then there's Phillips and Burks, or maybe somebody else is a better special teams player, Kyaris Jackson, and you're like, you know, we'd really like to keep Kyaris Jackson, so what we're going to do is we're going to trade Treylon Burks. And that happens all the time. Philadelphia did that with Jalen Reagor a couple years ago. I think Minnesota also did it at one point with Jalen Reagor, or the Patriots did it with Jalen Reagor. Somebody did it. I think Jalen Reagor, that's happened to twice. That's how you got Dennis Kelly. Now, I'm not saying that this is how you're going to get, you know, the next Dennis Kelly, because, Lord, after all my right tackle talk, would it be nice to have the next Dennis Kelly? But That's how you got Dennis Kelly, was a training camp trade of a wide receiver who was drafted high that you didn't want anymore. And so I expect that between either there being a guy that another team, probably an NFC team, has on their roster, probably a new coaching staff or a new general manager, new front office, they'll probably have a guy on their team that is decent and they would like to keep, but they don't because of the numbers. And so they kind of in a rock and a hard place here. And you might have a use for him because, oh, you know, he's a better edge rusher than our fourth edge rusher, than Thomas Rush. So what we're going to do is we're going to release Thomas Rush. And instead of releasing Treylon Burks or releasing Kyaris Jackson, what we're going to do is trade Treylon Burks for that guy, and we're going to keep Kyaris Jackson. So I do not expect Treylon Burks to be on this football team. Though I don't think it's as easy as giving him up for a bag of chips. Again, I think it is the equivalent of a fifth rounder next year or better, or a player at a position that you like. And then that way you don't have to battle the waiver wire in order to wait on that guy and, oh, the other six teams that would pick in front of you. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Text line's down, but that doesn't mean the phones aren't. Adam in Portland's been waiting patiently. He's up next here on the program. Adam, go ahead.
Yeah, so a couple things. Number one, y'all be careful this evening, man. That's going to be bad. So it's pretty wild. I don't like how they haven't addressed tight end one bit. It feels like we have Michael Pruitt and Anthony Firkser as our tight ends. Like, I don't know why Chig got all this hype. Like, the whole time, he's made, like, two catches that were decent. I can't even remember what they were, but I know he did. Like, I think Jonnu was, like, 10 times better than he's ever been. And I think the right tackle, you know, I want some days to where I don't have to completely disagree with you. I think your right tackle thing is like too played out. Like, we don't know what this offensive line coach is going to be. And you agreed coming in, right, that you can't fix everything. So there's going
to
be,
well, no. There are some positions though that you have to fix, and that's one of them.
Okay, but I mean, there's some of them that you're not. You just don't have resources.
So you don't hear me yelling about tight end, and I agree 100% with you about tight end. I think Chig sucks, and I've said it time and time again. And you have heard me. You know, again, I'm on your side with this, but I don't complain about tight end. I don't complain about inside backer. I don't complain about right guard, and I don't complain about safety, because I think you can fudge it at those positions and get away with it. I don't think you can do that at right tackle. And I think what everybody's doing is they're conflating that with the other positions, thinking you can get away with it at right tackle.
But my problem is, man, like tight end, when was the last time you saw a team go super deep that had a tight end as bad as ours? Like, that's my thing. Like, if you're going to fix it, I would be – I think you're yelling about the wrong position. That's my take for the day.
Well, there's – in no planet – thank you for calling. In no planet is tight end more valuable than right tackle. I mean, it's just not. Now, you would say, well, the Chiefs, you know, the Chiefs, that I actually think the Chiefs are paying Juwan Taylor, and I know he sucks. I think they might be paying him more than Travis Kelce. They absolutely were paying him more before the extension that Kelce signed last week. They still might be paying him more. Like, I mean, the right tackle. Again, you're the only organization I can think of in the NFL that literally doesn't give a rat's ass about right tackle. And it doesn't matter who the coach or the general manager is, apparently. I mean, it's wild. It's unbelievable to me. But I agree with Adam's take about tight end. I'm not happy about tight end. I think Chig stinks. I don't think Chig can catch the ball. I think Chig is a good backup tight end. That if you had a number one tight end, you know, who's a better inline blocker than Chig and more reliable at catching the ball, probably not as explosive, but again, more reliable at moving the chains and catching the ball and everything else. I think if you had that tight end, you'd be in a much better spot with Chig as your number two tight end and getting the occasional explosive play out of him. Now, tight end does take a little bit of time to develop. So maybe, you know, Chig's inability to catch the ball last year, maybe that is behind him. But I'm not putting my chips in the middle on Chig. But again, I'm not complaining about tight end. As far as the Titans just getting by, inside backer, you guys want to start the 106th pick. You want to give him the green dot as your main inside backer. Really? But you don't hear me complaining about that. But I do. Right tackle? Yes. And the thing Adam said, I think a lot of people probably believe. You talk about that too much. And guess what? It's not going to stop. Because, I mean, what's the point of me? We're talking about the Titans every day. What's the point of me not talking about it when I think it is so important that it might bomb your entire season? You know, I gave Andre Dillard the benefit of the doubt last offseason. But let's say I didn't. And I knew Andre Dillard was going to be as bad as Andre Dillard was. Don't you think it would have been worth complaining about every single day? That this one guy is so bad that it doesn't matter what else you do the rest of the season because that guy's so bad he can take your whole team down. That's how I feel about right tackle. 615-737-1025. Chris Sanders will join us next. Former Titans receiver will get his thoughts on how the Titans go about rebuilding, you know, as they're trying on the fly here, adding Tyler Boyd. Is it a rebuild? Is it not? What's he think about Boyd? We'll do that next here on Stillman & Company. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in here on the show. Join Cromwell Media along with local athletes, musicians, and the like at Hermitage Golf Course on June 20th for the 615 Open and make a difference while supporting Souls for Souls. For every $20 raised, it'll go to a new pair of shoes for a local child experiencing homelessness. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. The Tennessee Titans have added Tyler Boyd at wide receiver for up to $4.5 million, which means it's not really $4.5 million, which I think is a pretty good deal. I think Boyd's pretty good, especially at the slot position. You can't ask him to run down the field. That's not what he does, but that's what they need. And I think it's good news. So it is Wednesday, which means we are joined by former Titans receiver Chris Sanders here on the program, but it's not just any Wednesday because – Chris, I have been informed that today is the 51st anniversary of the birth of Christopher Dwayne Sanders.
Hey, this is the reason why I love you, man, because actually you said 51st. I'm 52 years old, man.
52. Wikipedia needs to step it up. I didn't feel like doing the math on my own. I guess, you know, I could have done that two and then before, so should have done that. Happy 52nd birthday, Chris.
Man, it means a lot, man. I just thank God I made it to 52 and just appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for taking the time to do that for me, Jay. I love you, brother.
And we were all worried that you wouldn't. I'm kidding. Okay, your thoughts on Tyler Boyd to the Titans.
Champ, absolutely love it. And the reason why I love it is because you just said before we got on the air is you found a reliable slot receiver. And here's the thing that I love about them picking up Boyd is the experience that he has. He has 582 snaps in the slot. And you look at NWI, who only caught 28 passes in the slot. You got Phillips, that caught 17 passes in the slot. So now you got Boyd that has experience, that understands how to get open, understand how to run the choice routes, and it's just going to be a safety net when things break down on the outside for Will Levis.
So I like the signing. I think it's a good signing. I like the value of the signing. But I keep going back to this, which is that they don't have a right tackle. And every time I bring that up, somebody gets mad at me. They say, stop talking about it. But, I mean, again, I said this last segment. I go, if I had spent every day talking about how bad Andre Dillard was going to be, you guys would have said the same thing. And then you get to the season, and it's like, oh, wow, this really is a huge problem. So I wonder this question for you. You are the inventor of the nickname PT for Nicholas Petit Frere. I do wonder, do you really think that Bill Callahan can take the same guys who weren't good at right tackle in the past and make them good this year?
Yeah, I really think so, because the thing about it is, I mean, we always talk about, you know, coaches being teachers, and when you be a teacher, you can teach in the right techniques. But here's the thing, there's just so many things that you can also do when you have a guy that has inexperience. What you do is you go a 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends, and kind of help him earlier in the games until he builds his confidence. So when you have a coach like that with Bill Callahan and he finds out his weaknesses, get him a little confidence, get him a little oomph, and I think that Bill Callahan can make an adjustment to where he can play right tackle.
What if he can't, though? And then
don't be so negative, no.
But then at that point, you've got nothing at the position. I'd rather bring somebody in and Bill Callahan coach PT up, and then it's like, hey, PT's actually good. Let's put him in. Then, well, we're all banking on PT, and if it doesn't work, we're screwed at right tackle.
Yeah, I mean that's a great assessment, but at the end of the day, I mean, you know, this is a make it or break it year for him, so I think he's going to come in and make sure that he's ready. And the thing about it is, it's not just – you know.
You mean he won't be hitting the parlays in the facility this time?
No, I just think that he's got to really sit down and really talk to him. And when I say really talk to him, is do a lot of film work and say, okay, look at your feet, look at your hand, look at your placement, look at when that guy comes off the edge, and all those things. And once he gets an understanding of the technique, then now he can play fast. So it's just going to take maybe, you know, one or two games to kind of get there. And I know that sounds kind of crazy, but at the end of the day, you have a great coach in Billahan, and he's going to teach him what he needs to know.
Chris Sanders is with us. Chris, how much do you look at Treylon Burke's situation now, given that they brought in Calvin Ridley, they brought in Tyler Boyd, they've brought in those guys, and yet he's still on the roster? How much do you look at that, and does it remind you of your own situation in 98 and 99 and 2000 when the team was bringing in Kevin Dyson and Nancy Thigpen and Carl Pickens, even though you were on the roster? And while you didn't play as much in 99 and 2000 when all the injuries hit, you and Derek lit it up, and you had six catches over 35 yards.
Yeah, you just got to make every play count. I mean, I know it sounds kind of cliche. It's, you know, you got two choices, and I know you hate when I say this. You got a choice to get
better. I don't hate it. I think it's great.
Or get better because at the end of the day, I'm going to give you a perfect example. I'm going to put myself in his shoes, because when they did that in 1998, when they got Yancey Thigpen and Kevin Dyson, I was upset. I sat down in my basement, you know, kind of soaking in my sorrow, but I had to pull up my britches and say this. I'm going to play so well that they have to play me. And when there's a big play that needed to be made on the field, I was in the game. Yes, I was a third receiver. Yes, you know, they were counting on, you know, Kevin Dyson and Yancey Thigpen. But when the game was on the line, you know, they made sure that I was in the game. And I'm going to give you another example. This is a guy who I really love. It's Derek Mason. Derek Mason, going into the Super Bowl, Derek was the sixth receiver. Derek was the sixth receiver at that time. So what Derek did is he kept working. He kept listening to the coaches. He didn't complain. He didn't have an attitude. He just worked. And now he's one of the best receivers to ever come out of the Tennessee Titans history of all times. Now you got Treylon Burke's situation. Now you got Boyd. Now you got Hopkins. Now you got all these guys that they have in there, and they're not counting on you. So what you do is you go in there, you look film, you get on the field, and you consistently show up on the field. And when you consistently show up in the field, Bill Callahan is going to find a place for you to play. Why? Because you're consistently showing up on the field.
Bill's the line coach. Brian's the head coach. Though I do think a lot of Titan fans are treating this team like Bill Callahan's the GM and the head coach, which is kind of annoying as far as that's concerned. Do you think if you were in his shoes and you played in a different era of the NFL, do you think that he would want a trade?
You know what? I think can I just put yourself in my shoes? You know, when I was sitting there, when they brought all those guys in, my first inclination is, I want to trade. I want to be out of here. I don't want no parts of this organization. That's how I initially felt. But what I had to do is I had to tell my emotions to shut up, because my emotions were telling me that they don't care about me, that, you know, all this crazy stuff that I was thinking in my mind. And I know Burks is actually thinking the exact same thing. You know, they brought in Boyd. They're bringing in all these receivers to replace me. So instead of letting your emotions lie to you, learn the playbook in and out. Run your route, every route with intensity. You know, catch every pass being intentful. And when you do that, your play is going to overshadow what's going on. Because even though we have all these guys with Ridley, Hopkins, and Boyd, what if one of those guys get hurt? What if those other two guys get hurt and you didn't do what you're supposed to do and you're not ready and prepared? So be prepared like you're the starter, and when you get a chance, you're going to actually play.
Somebody said in this YouTube chat, Chris, they said, can the Titans please just get a right tackle so Jared can finally shut up? Even though I agree that it's beyond annoying at this point. God. What? Be honest with me here.
Sure.
Do you think right tackle is as important as I think it is?
It is important, because you look at it last year. What was Achilles' heel of the Tennessee Titans last year? It was the offensive line. We can have all these skilled players. We can have Ridley. We can have Hopkins. We can have Boyd. We can have Pollard. We can have Spears. We can have all those guys. But if you don't have an offensive line that can block, it's not going to make a difference. If you look at last year, the offensive line gave up 64 sacks. So even though you may have all these skilled guys, if your offensive line can't block or run block and all those things, it's not going to make a difference. So I agree with you to an extent to where you need a right tackle, but I keep going back to what I'm saying is Bill Callahan is going to make sure this guy's right.
Chris Sanders, as always, on his birthday. Chris, great stuff. Happy birthday. We love you. Also,
Appreciate you, brother.
Out there with the weather that's going to be coming up, and we will talk soon.
Love you, brother. Thank you, man.
Chris Sanders. on his birthday. JC says in the YouTube chat, I find it so hilarious. This guy cried like a baby on draft night that they took a right tackle, and all this guy does every single day is complain about the right tackle position. Ian, they didn't take a right tackle on draft night.
Maybe right, maybe left.
They took their left tackle on draft night. They didn't take a right tackle. Now, if he plays right tackle, then great. Then we won't have to tell the right tackle story anymore. But then you won't have a left tackle, and that's the problem. You guys can get mad at me all you want. I just don't want the same repeats of the last couple of seasons. And apparently you guys think that running it back with the same players is going to be fine. Like Chris said, oh, no, Bill Callahan, he's got it. He'll fix it. Don't worry about it. 615-737-1025. Let's give away something because I'm in a good mood. It's Chris's birthday, for crying out loud. Let's give away a pair of tickets to Breaking Benjamin at F&M Bank Arena on May 15th. 615-737-1025. Be caller 5. Those are yours. Plus, Barry Trotz and Andrew Burnett yesterday met with the media to wrap up the season, and I think there's some good, and I think there's some bad. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.